You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
The ministry of the living word and the written word.
And that from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. See? So we have the written word. Likewise, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We're looking at the incarnate word and the written word in reference to the ministry tonight.
Romans 5.
Chapter 1, verse 16. Now we're looking at the written word, not the incarnate word. Verse 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel Christ, for it, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So notice again the organic union between the written word and the incarnate word. Now then, the incarnate word, we're going back to it, it quickens men or makes alive. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The he is injected by a notice by italics. And they put it in there because that's understood. It's talking about he, Christ, quickens, making us alive. And then also in John chapter 5 and verse 21.
The gospel?
Yeah, John's gospel. 5:21. John 5:21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. That word quicken means to make alive.
When it says whom he will, it still sounds like a choice.
That's right. It is a choice.
But it's like it is a choice.
It is a choice. It's his, it is his choice. It's an intelligent choice. Keep that, if you inject that little word there.
Talked it over for you.
It's an intelligent choice. And you know the ramifications that go with it.
All right.
1 Peter also, chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Keep in mind we're talking about the incarnate word as a quickening one. Making alive, in other words. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As I say, the word quicken means to make alive. We've been made alive through the person of Christ here. Now, looking at the written word in the same chapter in verse 23. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. And then also in James chapter 1 and verse 18. Now we're not looking at the incarnate word, here we're looking at the written word. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And then also in John chapter 6 and verse 68. Now if I go too fast, you have to stop me, but I do this because we have so much material that in order to cover it, why, I have to go fairly fast. John chapter 6 and verse 68. On the other hand, if I talk too fast or I go too fast, I want you to stop me. I don't want you to get behind. Chapter 6, verse 68. Now we're talking about the written word. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words, plural, of eternal life. This Peter was referring to the verbal words, but the verbal words are now recorded in the written word, see? So it comes back to the written word. It isn't talking about the person here, but the words, see? So that you see the organic union between the incarnate word and the written word. Not only so, but now coming back to the incarnate word. The incarnate word frees men. And look at John, if you will, in chapter 8 and verse 36.
Gospel of John.
John's Gospel. Verse 36. Notice, it's the written, here's the incarnate word that frees men, makes men free men. I hear a lot about freedom today, but we're looking at true freedom. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now let's look at the written word, right there in the same chapter in verse 32. Notice the organic union. And you shall know the truth. And what? And the truth shall make you free. You see the similarity of union between the incarnate word and the written word. So anytime anybody accuses you of being a Bible worshiper, well, you just show their ignorance. See? Because you cannot believe in the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the written word. And you cannot even know the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the written word. You can't even know him apart from the written word.
Without the healing, you can't have the written word.
And you can't know Christ without it.
You're not too soon.
In the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the written word. And you cannot even know the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the written word. You can't even know him apart from the written word.
Without the healing, you can't have the written word.
And you can't know Christ without it.
You're not too soon.
Well, we're going to stop and take a little time on that.
You can't have the written word.
Everyone's to that.
It's a challenge. And you know, the wonderful thing about it, you know, the Bible itself is the best commentary I know of. So let's turn to Acts chapter 8. And we see a principle involved here that shows.
I wasn't,
but the Holy Spirit was.
Well, I tried to explain this to a woman today, and she saw it on the basis of
Romans 8. Chapter 8.
Romans 8. Action.
In verse 26, we start there.
This one over here.
Acts 8, 28. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is Bethany. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now let's look up for a minute, and let's look at the setting here so that you understand this. There was a colored man, an Ethiopian. That's right. And the very fact that he came to Jerusalem tells us that he came searching for truth. Otherwise, he would not have come to Jerusalem, because that's all that was there. It was the Jewish priesthood for him to come see it, we'll see it in a minute. Now, Philip was in Samaria and having a great revival. Thousands of people were being saved. And all right in the middle of it, God says to Philip, get up and go down the desert. Now that's the setting of the story. But notice, this man had come to Jerusalem for truth. And notice, verse 23, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet.
Verse 28.
He was on his way home. He'd been to Jerusalem. He'd come away disappointed. But he was seeking truth. Then the Spirit, notice, said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he slept up on me. He had, that colored man didn't even know Philip didn't go around. He was just standing there in his chariot reading from the book. And Philip said to him, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare a generation, for his life is taken from this earth? And the eunuch asked Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginneth the same scripture, notice, and preached unto him the better way of life. No, sir, he did not. He preached to him about Jesus. But no, here's the point. Here is a man that was seeking the truth. The minute that gets a man, the heart of any man like that, it makes God obligated. And here, right in the middle of a great revival in Samaria, God just takes first. That's nothing. There's a fellow over there for one man. For one man, go to the back side of the desert where this nigger is, and you tell him what he wants to know. See the principle in God? Mm-hmm. Now, this is why the heathen does not know about Jesus Christ. He doesn't want him.
No.
And wouldn't receive it if you sent somebody. Yeah.
Poor knowledge.
That's right. An intelligent choice. The scripture always bounds itself out if you really want to know. Mm-hmm. But that's what you say. If any man desires to know the doctrine, really desires, then he will know. But you see, God looks on the heart. Men look on outward appearances. Now, here was a man that God was a colored man that was really out to know God. He wanted to know it. And God can drop everything.
Cliff, this is exactly, in different words, but the same way Bob Feen teaches, if you have positive volition, God knows about
that's right.
The same thing.
That's right.
The same thing.
Yeah.
It's different words.
Yeah, that's
how we listen.
It's a higher fluid word than I use, but it's the same
thing. Well, not higher fluid than yours, but it's the same idea.
Yeah.
Positive volition. He says he knows the heart.
Does that answer your question?
That one word, that's mine. Excellent.
We finished that the Scripture makes you free, and Jesus Christ makes you free. That's where we got to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the incarnate word makes men wise. Now, the incarnate word, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Notice, it's Jesus Christ we're talking about, the person, the incarnate word. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who? The who is speaking of Christ. Who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Notice the order. Wisdom first, then righteousness, then sanctification. And what's last?
The greatest.
Redemption. You see, you must become wise enough to know that you're lost.
That's right.
And then you must realize that Christ is the righteous one, not you. And when that you realize those two facts, then the sanctification, the setting apart work of the Holy Spirit begins. And what?
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.